Praise the Lord for you. You got your Bibles this morning? Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Because we just had Mark up here. We'll talk about Mark. Amen. Mark chapter 5. Verse number 15. If you're able to stand with me, stand with me. I should read the whole chapter. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hopefully allow the Lord to let me expound on it a little bit. And I know it's one that you're familiar with, so I won't read the whole thing. But I do want you, as John says, I do want you to go check it out. I want you to go read it. Don't ever, just stop with what we do here. This is a little bit that God gives us to make us thirsty and to get in more to the Word of God. So in chapter 5, verse number 15, it says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'm gonna stop there for right now. It's to me that whole fifth chapter talks about three different people, three different situations, and how Jesus dealt with each of them. And how, you and I are not all the same. Praise God, we don't have the same problems. And we don't deal with the same people. We don't deal with the same issues that everybody deals with. And I don't know yours, and you don't know mine exactly. Sometimes we know that there's some pain, or there might be some suffering, or there might be some confusion that somebody might have in their life. Because we know them, but we don't know exactly what it is. But here's what we do know. We know who does know. And we know what he wants to do for each of us. And so I want to talk about this. As Jesus said there to that woman, he said in verse 34, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The Lord wants us whole. Amen? He wants us whole. The Lord wants us holy. And the Lord wants us holy. He wants us whole. He wants us holy. And He wants us holy. Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful, Lord, to be in Your house. Lord, we're thankful for those songs. We're thankful for, Lord, the presence of Your Spirit. Lord, for the praises and the testimonies that we heard this morning. Father, we praise You. We bless You for this. Lord, we thank You for the lives that were lived, that You recorded in Your Word, Lord, that we might glean and Lord, learn and receive things in our life because of what others had gone through. And we praise You in all those things. Lord, be with those that are not here. There's so many that are sick and Lord, things going on in different lives, Lord, and You know what they are. Father, be with them. Touch their bodies. Raise them up. Make them whole, Father. Bring them back. Again, I think of Walt and Karen. Lord, got a hold of me this morning. Father, just a lot of suffering there. But Father, I just pray that You'd be with them and raise them up also. You are the great physician still, Lord. Lord, those that are going into the hospital and those that are going in for things unknown, Lord, I pray that You go with them, that You comfort them, Father, and that You strengthen them and their families, Lord, for this journey. Lord, today, meet with us. Lord, we just, if we don't meet with You, Lord, we're here in vain. Meet the needs, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We started out with that famous story about the Gadarenian demoniac in chapter 5. Chapter 4 ends with this saying that I think it's important as we go into the chapters. We know that, number one, those weren't there to begin with. Those were put there so that we might be able to, in our finite minds, be able to compartmentalize things and try to figure out where they are and where we might be able to explain to somebody else where they are. So sometimes those chapters and those verses mess us up a little bit. But you know what? The whole story is important. So at the end of chapter 4 there, somebody said, "Behold, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey His voice?" That Jesus had in chapter 4 told His disciples to get into a boat on the Sea of Galilee, knowing that there was going to be a great storm that was going to arise. And as they would cross the Sea of Galilee and go to Gadara, to the place of the Gentiles, we know that because that's where the swine were and the pig were. They would go to that coast there and they would find this man who had been possessed, not by one devil, but by many devils. Now today people wonder, well, whatever happened to all those devils that was talked about in the Bible? You know, I mean, it seemed like every time we turn around, Jesus was casting out devils, wasn't He? And praise God, or His disciples were trying to cast out devils, sometimes successful, sometimes not. Whatever happened to those, I wonder. I want to tell you what, they're still here. And I think, you know, as we're here in the last minutes of the last days before the Lord comes back again, we're seeing evidence of them. They're not hiding anymore. They're out in plain sight, man. I mean, you know, just some of the ludicrous things that they're putting in people's minds and hearts, man. It's just out there. But know this, that they didn't go anywhere. They're still here. They still, you know, are under the command of their general, Lucifer, Satan, and you know, they have a job to do. And remember, he is the father of lies. His job and his motive operandi for living on this world is to kill, steal, and destroy. It's still that, and he uses all that he has to do that. They're here. But, you know, Jesus allowed different ones to be freed from that. And of course, you know, Jesus was able to, he was Lord over all. He's Lord over, you know, all of the principalities and the powers of this world and outside of this world. And here he restores, he makes this man whole. Remember, he had cast those devils, that legion of devils, into the swine, and they ran down the hill, and that's where we picked up there in verse number 15. And those swine drowned it in the Sea of Galilee. They came down that cliff of Gadara. And it's not original to me, but my dad used to say that was the first case of suicide mentioned in the Bible. When those hogs went down, they were filled with devils and drowned themselves. Now, guess what? Those demons, those devils, they need a host body. They need a place to go into. Otherwise, they just float around aimlessly. And so their desire was to go into those hogs. There's a lot of debate as to what was going on there. That's, to me, that's the subject today is, that's something you can go back and you can think about. But the subject is this, is that the man that had the legions of devils in him, he was made whole. He was freed of those devils. You know, whatever was tormenting him, it freed him. And go back there, and we'll begin in verse number 15 one more time again. And it says, and they came to Jesus. They come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And look at what it says here. You ought to mark this down in your Bible. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And they were afraid. Man, when Jesus gets a hold of you, he doesn't leave you where he found you. Jesus, well, listen, he'll take you wherever you're at. We know this. Listen, I don't care how low you are. I don't care what gutter that you're in. I don't care, you know, what rehab facilities that you've been to in your life. I don't care, you know, what your circumstances was. Man, when you meet Jesus, when you really meet Jesus, as this man met Jesus, praise God, he left. Guess what? He was clothed. You know, the devil wants you to take your clothes off. Uh-oh, Brother Tim. Oh, no, now he's going to start meddling. hey, that's what he wants you to do. That's a great big distraction in this world, isn't it? You know, and listen, will the Lord allow somebody to come in that's not dressed exactly right? Absolutely. The Lord will take you exactly where you're at. But I'll tell you what, if there needs to be a covering, the Lord provides a covering. We remember in the Garden of Eden, we remember when Adam and Eve decided that, you know, they figured out because of sin that they were naked, and they put fig leaves on themselves. And that's where the saying comes from, that where you turn over a new leaf. They covered themselves with fig leaves. I hadn't thought about this. I've preached on this for years, but somebody said, have you ever felt a fig leaf? They're itchy. That was Elvis Presley's song, "Itching Like a Man on a Fuzzy Tree." I'm all shook up. They had sowed the leaves and covered themselves. But what did the Lord do? The Bible says he took and made coats of skins. In order to skin an animal, there's going to be blood and there's going to be death. But the Lord covered it. He provided what was necessary. We see the first picture of a substitutionary death and substitutionary atonement right there in the book of Genesis. But man had covered himself. But listen, God will cover you. This man was covered, it says in verse 15. It says, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's the way the Lord wants us. God, his desire for you, point number one, is that you be whole. That you be whole. And that's the W-H-O-L-E. Is that like Whole Foods? How do they spell that? I don't even know. Is it whole food? Why are those foods supposed to do for you? They're supposed to make you whole. God's supposed to, you know, his desire is that you be whole. Now, I think it's very important that you understand this, because, you know, this is a point of contention, disagreement among scriptures, among folks. You know, people would say, so you're telling me that God wants you whole, and that means you're never going to be sick. Is that what it means? I will tell you that there are churches today that you could be sitting in right now that will tell you that it's a sin for you to be physically sick. Have you ever been to one? I know people, listen, they say, look, you can't, you know, if you got a disease, that means Satan gave it to you. Satan did this. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. It was the devil, the devil's fault, and people blaming the devil for all kinds of things, and that he has nothing to do with. The Bible says that Jesus is the key holder to life and death. So what does it mean to be, he wants you whole? He wants you whole. You know, I like the word wholesome. Wholesome. What is something that is wholesome? Something that is good and something that is decent. You know, God wants us to be that. He has provided everything we need to be healthier than we are. How many agrees to that? How many knows that though, you know, men is, you know, they want to preserve life and they want to kill life at the same rate of speed. I mean, they are 100% for preserving life and 100% for killing themselves at the same time. I am guilty of that. Man, I put stuff in my body that I know is not good. And I argue. Do you ever argue with yourself? I shouldn't eat that. But I say, you know what, though? I've been pretty good and you know, I've earned it. And just like all the commercials say, you deserve it. You deserve it. Remember, you deserve a break. You deserve it. Satan says, you can look at, yes, those things are bad for you, but it's okay to take a little out of it at a time. And we pretty soon, man, we'll wisdom is justified of her children. Now you can look at that verse a couple of different ways. You can say, yeah, real wisdom is justified, and you see it in the end. But also people justify themselves with their own brand of wisdom, and that's the one that comes from below, from the pits of hell, and they justify things. And a lot of it is taking things into our body that's bad for you. And I'm not talking about cigarettes. I'm not talking about alcohol. But I'm talking about all the things that we know. Listen, you know, man, there's stuff that we're eating that destroys us. How about sugar? How many knows that's probably the worst addiction there is? Sugar. You might break a lot of things, but man, I'll tell you what, break that one. Break that one. That's a tough one. That will get you. That will take you down. There are things that, you know, how many likes bacon? I love it. I told you I can't really trust somebody unless I see them eat bacon. Not completely. I mean, we can be friends, but we can't be real friends unless I, you know, you got to be eating some bacon now. People that eat bacon do not say Allah Akbar. Amen. Praise God. They don't strap bombs to themselves when they eat bacon. So there's something to that. But you know what? We eat it. We know it's bad. There are things, but I'm going to say this, that it is appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die of something. Whether your arteries are clogged, whether it's, cancer, whether, you know, some other, something else, that you're going to die. You're not going to die completely healthy. You're not going to die of good health. You know, we're going to die, and the days of man, the Bible tells us, are 70. But what does God mean by he wants us whole? Does that mean, does he wants us physically whole all the time, and that's God's desire for us? God wants us to be spiritually whole. Praise God. He wants us to be at whatever capacity we can be, the best that we can be. He wants us to be that. He has provided for us to be that in our lives. We also know, we just preached a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, if it's better for you to cut your hand off, if it's better for you to pluck your eyeball out, if it's better for you to cut your foot off, and make sure you're going to heaven. That was important. So you say, well, wait a minute. He really doesn't want us whole. So we're starting to understand what he really means. He wants us to be body, soul, and spirit. God has made us all three. Some of the smart healing hospitals and institutions have figured out, you know, you can help somebody's body and physical ailments and viruses, and you can do all of those things, friend. But man, if you don't deal with the soul, If you don't deal with what's going on inside, you're only treating part of the problem. You know what? You're probably not going to be successful. They figured that out. You know, you've got to have all three parts in order to make things whole: body, soul, and spirit. And verse number 34 in chapter 5, there we're not dealing with the demoniac, but now we're dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. She had a fountain of blood. Can't imagine this, guys, for 12 years. 12 years she has a fountain of blood. She went to the doctors. She spent everything that she had. What did the Bible say? She was none the better. As a matter of fact, she did not get better. You know, sometimes doctors don't want you whole. Doctors don't make money for, you know, when people getting better, when they start curing things. You know, it's better when they can get you in for at least once or twice a month appointments and come in and that you pay that protection to them. They sometimes they don't want. Now I'm not saying all of them are that way. I know this, that none of them's like the great physician. But she went and she spent, the Bible says, all that she had. And we know that she went there and she said, if I could just touch his clothes, if I could, and in the other gospel, in Matthew, says, if I could touch but the hem of his garment, I know that I'd be whole. Verse 34, it says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And he calls her daughter. She was an Israelite. The other guy was a Gentile. The other guy, when he was healed, when he sat at the feet of Jesus, when he was no longer cutting himself and he was clothed and he was in his right mind, he says, I want to go with you, Lord. I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, I want you to go back to your people. And I want you to tell them the great thing that's been done in you. You know, don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep that good news. Don't keep that cache of wonderful things and goodness that God has given you to yourself. You got to share that. That's what we're commanded to do in the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. We're not keeping that to ourselves. But he said that because you remember that Jesus came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there were those that had come to Jesus, and he said, well, you know what? I'm not here for you. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, but he was there for everybody, but you know, Jesus did things in order. And that man came to him, and we know that Jesus made him whole. He sat there in his right mind. He's going to do the same for his daughter. In verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Behold, thy plague. What plagues you? We can try to figure out, oh, she's 12 years. Now, Cherry and I discussed this years ago. Cherry, I've never forgotten that. You know, we talked about those numbers mean something. Those numbers mean something. There was a time when, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000. There was a time when he fed the 7,000. And there's numerology in the Bible. And, I don't think you should get lost in it, but don't completely discount it. There's things there you need to pay attention to. One of the numbers in the Bible you ought to pay attention to is 12. It's 12 apostles. 12 tribes of Israel. And, there were 12 loaves that were left over when Jesus took up the fragments. Those 12s. And here she has a plague of blood for 12 years. And certainly when I think of 12s, I do think of the patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel. And I think about the plague of blood that was throughout the whole Old Testament. where if they were going to have be atoned for, if there was going to be any measure of forgiveness in their life, they were going to have to sacrifice blood. And throughout the Old Testament, from the beginning to the end, it was blood, it was blood, it was blood, it was blood. It wasn't until Jesus came that that blood, that fountain dried up. No longer do we sacrifice sheep. No longer do we go to the temple and have the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical priesthood offer sacrifices for us. Praise God, Jesus did it once and for all. He has made it the ability for us to be whole. We don't have to have that fountain of blood any longer, because Jesus settled the issue once and for all. When John the Baptist looked at Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." No more Passover ceremonies and sacrifices, as the Jews will be celebrating Passover while we celebrate resurrection in March this year. The Jews will be celebrating that, although they do it without blood, and they don't know why. They'll tell you, well, it's because we don't have a temple. Well, you know, there was a time they didn't have a temple. They had a tabernacle. They just had a tent. Amen. God said, wherever you go, man, there ought to be sacrifice. There ought to be blood. But you know what? The Lord has made the ability for all of us to be whole. We can be whole according to the Word of God. We can be whole mentally. We need to be single-minded and understand that God has offered the wholeness. James chapter 1 and verse 8. Turn there in James chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll come back to this in Mark, so keep your finger there in Mark. But James chapter 1 and verse number 8. It says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. We need to have singleness of mind and singleness of heart. And as we're a body of believers together, amen, we need to understand what we believe about the things, and not everything, listen, but the important things and the true doctrines that God would have us to understand in the Word of God. We need to understand them. We need to be single-minded about it. Look at chapter 4, verse 8, James 4, 8. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." God would have us to be whole. And that man that had been cutting himself, that man that had torn chains, that they couldn't bind him, he sat clothed and in his right mind. And he was sitting, and he had peace in his heart. Peace not as the world gives. You know, this year ought to be interesting. This who knows what can happen this year? With what's going on politically and what, I mean, they have shredded our Constitution. America's gone, guys. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. You guys been watching what's going on in Texas? I bet you're glad you're not in there anymore, Robert. Oh my gosh. They're pitting the Border Patrol against the National Guard and the state over there in Texas. How many times? I think some 365 times Jesus says, "Fear not. Don't fear the bad news." God, listen, man, he's still the bearer of good news. He still can make us whole. His desire has changed not. God doesn't change. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. God wants you whole. Second point is, God wants you holy. Stay with me now. You only got two more points to go. How many can do that? Well, I can do that one standing on my head. I only got two. God wants you whole. How many believes that? Say amen, Brother Tim. That's good. He wants me whole. God's desire is for goodness. God wants good things, man. He knows. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you," saith the Lord. You know what? He says, I have thoughts of peace. And my desire is for you to have an expected, and I want you whole. But I want you holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. What does that mean? Simply this: God wants all of you. God wants all of you. That's what it means to that God wants you holy. Well, wait, you'd probably say this right now. You say, well, what about my life? What about my friends? What about my job? What about the things that I want? What about that, Brother Tim? Could you answer that? What about my life? Mark chapter 8, verse 35. I think sometimes it's best to allow the Word of God to speak for itself. Mark chapter 8, verse 35 said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So does that, what about my life? What about my body? What about my choices? What about my happiness? Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Mark 10, 29 says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. I think we got some things covered here. This is Jesus. This is red letter. You got a red Bible? Who's got a red letter Bible? It says, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel. But verse 30, I love this. It says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother, children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come. What does it say? Boy, that's a good investment. Some of you guys know that several years ago I invested in Bitcoin. Many years ago. Dumped in pretty heavily. And you know, it was at first it was good. It was really good. And, it was the way to get out of the government's fingers. And people say, well, what is it? There's nothing to it. Yes, it is. Here's what Bitcoin was. It was confidence. Just like money today. Look, if you don't have confidence in this, you won't take it. This is worth nothing. It used to be that, you know, it was worth gold and silver. Y'all remember that. Did you know that when Richard Nixon was the president, gold was outlawed. You could only have so much gold. Check me out, John. Check me out. That's the truth. And you say, oh, they can't do that. They did it. It wasn't until later that they allowed people to start having gold again. And so what you had to have was you had these pieces of paper that if somebody would receive them, they had to have confidence that they could take that paper and trade it for some goods or services and that it would actually be viable. But it's just confidence. When you lose confidence all of a sudden, ooh, bad. I remember back in the 80s, early 80s, when the currency of Mexico flipped overnight. Anybody remember that? A lot of people had money in the bank, man. Interests were big. They were paying, if it's too good to be true. And then all of a sudden, now you could bring a wheelbarrow and not buy a loaf of bread. It devalued 1,000%, 10,000% overnight. Confidence. You have to know that the Lord says, I know about good investments. This, how many believes that this is a good investment? He shall receive 100-fold when God wants you on board. We spend a lot of money. I don't like to spend money. I like to invest it. No matter what you get, whatever you're buying, hopefully you'll be able to flip that thing and sell it, you know, someday, and not lose too bad on it. Amen. You got to figure out all the different parts of that, you know, and knowing that, look, you know, some of that stuff is going to devalue and things like that with usage. But you know what? The usage had a value and all that. But you know, God's just saying, look, I'm just going to shred it down. You know, tear it back to the bare bones and let you know this, man. You know, if you've in verse 34, verse 29. Verse 29, once again, look at, he says, He said, I say unto you, there's no man that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, that's not going to make a hundredfold. Anybody ever had an investment that good? Okay, who's on board? All the way. Who's ready to invest? How much? All of it. All of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see that I'm no good without you? You took the part that once was my heart. But why not take all of me? Remember that song? I know that's Willie Nelson. Let you know where I'm at. That is... I know I shouldn't be singing Willie Nelson. But it was such a truth. It was, you know what? Look, you only take a piece or a part. Anybody ever sold a house before? Sold out? Did you sell all of it? All of it. You didn't keep one room for yourself. You let the people come in to sell your home. You say, look, I'm going to show you the whole house, but not this part. I'm going to keep this part for myself. You say, it doesn't work that way. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way in God's economy either. He says, I want all of you. He said, I want all of what you have. And I'm telling you what, if you believe me, there is reward in heaven that eye hath not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. God says, you know what? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what God is. He's a rewarder. Some people, here's where a lot of people get confused. I do believe that when God saves you, he keeps you. He does the keeping. Because if it was up to you, I think you'd lose it. And so there's argument either whether, you believe once saved, always saved, or you believe that a person can lose his salvation. I believe this, that if a person's in charge of it, he'll lose it. Amen? And if his wife ain't around, he ain't going to find it. Because he could be looking right at it, and his wife, and say, honey, where is it? And she's going to come and show him right where it is. I don't know why that is, but it just is. See, now that isn't as bad as the joke that John told this morning. Of silence in heaven for 30 minutes. But I believe that God keeps that. And I believe that he holds it completely in his hands. And that no one can pluck you from him. Listen, he wants all of you. He wants you whole. And God wants you holy. Look at Numbers chapter 32. One more sub point on that of God wanting you to holy. Numbers 32 verse 11 and 12. We remember the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. And they were following Moses. And they were going to go to the promised land. Only two people besides Moses himself was allowed to enter into the promised land. Who was that? Surely none of them that came out up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Verse number 12. It says, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. They wholly followed him. There's so many other examples of that. I could turn to other scriptures, but God wants all of you. God promises great promises towards us. And he says they're for now and they're for eternity. People say, well, you know what? If God shows me, then I'll believe him. I'm waiting for God to show me first, and then I'll believe him. And God says, here's what faith is. He says, you believe me, and then I'll show you. Ooh, I don't like that. You want me to invest? It's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained good report. They said that, you know what, we'll, God, your currency, it's good. We trust you, Lord. We take you at your word. We believe what you say, that God will be a debtor to no man. You cannot outgive God. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. You give me what you have, friend. And God says, and I'll invest it and I'll multiply it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, that woman, she had spent everything she had. But you know, health is valuable. I do believe that's why the government's gotten involved in it. Amen. The government, death is there's a big profit in death and in medical care. And that's why the government is right in the middle of it. And if you don't have a good will, you need to get one. Or if you don't have a trust, you need to have one. I'll tell you what happens immediately upon when you die. If everything, every I isn't dotted and every T isn't crossed, they swoop right in and they do a thing called probate. How many's ever been through probate? We had one of the dear ladies, Bernice Grindell, got saved in this church years ago. She, you know what? She had no family. She had, this was her. The church was her family. And some would say, well, she lost everything. But God says, no. In this earth, He says, I'll give you back a mother. I'll give you back brothers. I'll give you back a family. I'll give you back a house. I'll give you back all that you think that you're missing, and I'll do it now. And guess how He does it? He does it in His church. You know what she said? She says, when I die, I want to make sure that what I have left, I'm going to give some to the church. Some of you guys don't know, she paid our electric bill for a long time, long after she was gone. But I'll tell you what happened. As soon as she died, man, the government, boom, went in there, and they're going to make you, they're going to make you prove what you know, what was her will and testament. That was her will. Did you know that we have God's will in His word? That's His will. If somebody sent you a letter, a phone call, said, hey, Karen, somebody left you in his will. I need you to come to the courthouse, and I need you to be here for the hearing and the reading of the will. Would you go? You bet you'd go. You'd be there early. So would I. I find out what. I'm in his will. I want to know what he has to say. He says, I've left you in my will. Ooh, wow. What's that worth? Can you imagine the wealth God has? The government understands it. Do you? God wants all of you. He wants you holy. He wants you, here's the last one. He wants you H-O-L-Y. Here's the least favorite of the three. This is the one that I was dreading to write down. It's the best for last. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Stay in verse 15 for a second. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, the old King James Bible, it uses that word conversation. Some of the other versions might say something different, but basically, it's not just talking about your speech. It's talking about your whole lifestyle and everything that you are and your whole manner of conversation. You know, God says, look, I want you to be holy. Really? I got to be holy? And Jesus said in another place, be perfect. For your Father in heaven is perfect. Wait a minute. Now God's asking me to do stuff that cannot be done. And let me just say wholeheartedly, amen, you're right. You can't do it. You ain't holy. The Bible says, I think, 4 or 5 times. It says to greet one another. In the epistles, it says to greet one another with a holy kiss. And my dad used to say, if you're going to come at me with a kiss, it better be holy. Otherwise, you're going to be holy. That's a different kind of holy. That's an H-O-L-E-Y, holy. But he's saying, holy. How is that possible? Well, listen, there's only one way. And it's not through you. What's that verse 16? It says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. How is that possible? 1 Thessalonians 4:7, and I'm just about ready to close. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. How can I be holy? How can you be holy? Well, you said, Brother Tim, it's impossible for me. That's right. It's impossible for you to walk the Christian life. Now, this is not an excuse for failure. You know, people are going to use this as a crutch, and they're going to say, see, and nobody can be perfect. And so, you know, God's just going to have to accept me the way I am. And, you know, God made me this way. And, you know, they use that excuse for all their sin. And that's not what God's saying. God's saying, I've made it possible for you to be whole. I've made it possible for you to give yourself holy. And not only that, I've made it profitable. I've made some promises. And look, this was around before any of us were around. He says, you listen to me. You want an investment? Here it is. But I've also made it possible for you to be holy. How can that be? Well, I'm going to tell you what, one way you can get up in the morning, every morning that God gives you another day, that He gives you breath, that He allows you to open your eyes up. Somebody was praising the Lord for that in Sunday school. One more day like that, you can get on your knee and you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great sacrifice. Thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the cross. But I also praise you and I thank you for the empty tomb. We're going to be celebrating that. Because of the power of His resurrection, the resurrection power that raised Him from the dead is the same power that He offers you to walk a life of holiness. Does that mean you'll be without sin? No, I'm going to tell you this. I'll say that the power of sin will no longer have that dominating power. It will no longer have dominion over you anymore. It's going to be there. You still have your old nature, but know this, that not only the power of sin, but God has also removed the penalty of that sin. Hey, I can live a little better knowing that, you know, that penalty, that price has already been paid. One day, the book of Revelation tells us that He's going to remove us from the very presence of sin. Going to be gone. We're going to live, rule and reign 1,000 years on this earth. The devil's going to be bound. Now, there's religion, like our Mennonite friends believe that he's already bound. They believe that we're already living in the millennial reign. There's some good people. That's one of the things I definitely disagree with. But I know this, that God has given us the ability to read and to know Him through His Word and to know that, you know, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Man, you got to have Christ. You got to have His power. You got to have His peace and the presence of mind that He gives us to understand that He wants us. He wants these things for us. And here's what I've learned about trying to help people, as I know God tries to help us, is that you can't help somebody more than they want to help themselves. How many's ever tried to help one of your kids? Guy, that's a bag with holes in it. You will go broke. But whenever they're ready, to give themselves to the Lord, then, man, I'm all in. 100%. 110,000%, I'm in. But sometimes you just got to let them run and pray for them. God, don't let them hit too hard. I know that voyage is going to be with hurt and damage, but I'm just going to let them I'm trusting you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just stand together. Man, there's so much more I could say on this. I don't want to labor this anymore. It's good to see just us chickens here today. God's word is true, whether it doesn't matter who's here. God's real. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all.